Welcome to Elevating Pikes Peak Women, a podcast production of Pikes Peak Women. I'm your host, Mary Lou Makepeace, and this podcast will be bringing you content relevant to the women of the Pikes Peak region in order to help them get engaged, get empowered, and make a difference in our community. Pikes Peak Women was established in 2011 in response to a need to address critical issues involving women, issues like pay equity, healthcare reform, women's rights, and social equity. Pikes Peak Women also provides forums where women can learn how to engage, become politically active, join local boards, take leadership positions, and run for office. We do this as an independent, nonpartisan organization in collaboration with other organizations whose missions support and strengthen ours. So let's dive right in. Hello, this is Mary Lou Makepeace with Elevating Pikes Peak Women. You know, I say this probably every time we have a session, but I have a really exciting conversation planned for us today. I have Deb Thornton here, who is the, I'm not sure what your actual title is, you can tell us, but she's with the program. You may have noticed it out at the Citadel, and it's a spinoff, or it is part of what she's been doing all along. So, Deb, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And give us some background about what you're doing, how it fits in with Imagination Celebration, which you've worked for many years. You worked with Mary Mashburn, who is a dear lady, and I'm sure she was a fabulous mentor for you. And anyway, take it away.
Definitely. So my title actually is Curious Choreographer of Creativity, which I hope kind of gives you a concept. Because
do you have a job description under that?
It's AKA executive director.
Okay.
But I feel like running an organization called Imagination Celebration means I have to use mine. And I felt like I needed a different description for what I do other than executive director, because it really is about engaging people in using their own creativity.
Well, I'm just sitting here thinking, if you ever get tired of what you're doing now, I think engaging your imagination would be a great training program for an awful lot of people in our community.
Exactly. And, you know, I think a lot of people associate Imagination Celebration with focusing on children. And certainly we have done that through the years. But it also became clear that if we didn't focus on the adults in this whole mix, then we're not serving the children. So in order to serve the whole community, we need everybody to recognize their own creativity. In my role, when I introduce myself, I work with Imagination Celebration, I literally will have some people, cross their arms, take a step back in a defensive posture, put up their hands and say, oh, I'm not creative. And if I probe that, oftentimes they'll say, why do you say that? I can't draw. And I feel like you cannot possibly limit the concept of creativity to this one hand-eye coordination skill that you can learn. So really, a lot of the work we do is about having people take the risk of playing and experimenting with their own creativity. So that's led to many different programs that we do.
Well, I'm so glad you're there, because I think we have come to a time, perhaps in our community, where creativity has left the civic sphere. When I look at some of the apartment developments, I go, where's the creativity? But anyway, that's not what we're here to discuss. We're here to discuss your current work at the Citadel and elsewhere with the way you describe it, a wonderful group of people, women and their children, primarily from Afghanistan, but others as well. And I just want to remind people that these are refugees. They are not interlopers. They're not illegals. They're not anything other than people who have come to this country for their own safety. Mm-hmm. And it seems like a long time ago now when we were fighting in Afghanistan, but these people helped our troops in that conflict. And as a result, they're not safe in that country anymore. Mm-hmm. So I guess you could say, I think we owe them one. Mm-hmm. But anyway, talk about your program.
So I got contacted by Louise El-Yafouri, who has a business called Diversified Consulting. And she's in Denver. She grew up in Colorado Springs, went to Mitchell High School. And she asked me if we would partner with her organization to provide programs here in the Pikes Peak region for refugees. And we can work with refugees that are from Afghanistan, Ukraine, Congo, Haiti, Cuba. These are all people that have been designated by the Federal Office of Refugee Resettlement as people that are legally able to be here because they're coming from a war zone. And certain of the Afghan people are, like as you said, are people that have worked alongside our troops and saved their lives. And so they have a special immigrant visa here as well.
And you work, don't mean to interrupt, mm-hmm. but your program is for the spouses and the families of children of the men probably have employment someplace.
Correct. Because what we looked at is who did we think were the most vulnerable? And we felt like the Afghan women were the most vulnerable because most of them don't speak English very well at all. They have children, preschool children and children perhaps in school. They oftentimes wear headscarves, so they're identifiable as quote unquote foreign.
Different,
right. They don't have transportation. They don't know how to drive. What I'm finding is that several of the husbands might speak English because they've been working with our government. You know, they've been working mm-hmm. with our military. But we felt like they're the ones that we needed to focus on first. And oh my goodness, it has been so enriching for all of us that are part of it. And when we started, we didn't see how we could ask these women to get on buses and try to negotiate without speaking English with a child in one hand and a baby in the other. So it is also, when you talk about elevating women, it's amazing American women volunteers here in our region. Many of them are retired. Some of them are retired ESL teachers or they've traveled internationally. So they already have a real love and respect for different cultures. And so it's become this really important community.
So what do those volunteers do?
Well, they become friends right away. What we knew is that we needed to transport the women and their little ones to our space at the mall, and they go pick them up. They're part of the program through the 2 hours that we're together, and then they take them home. But there's a lot of other things that start happening. They start helping teach them to drive, or they help get them to a medical meeting, or they've helped them understand something that came in the mail. You know, we thought when we started this, Imagination Celebration is all about creative engagement. And so we know that that is what is really helps build community. It's what helps our minds, our brains. It is part of our well-being is to be engaged creatively. So because of that, this whole program that we started is based on creativity. And so we called it the Creative Exchange. And at first we thought we're going to be teaching them, we'll help them with creative projects. And that will help their sense of wellness because they've all been through trauma. Not just the recent trauma of having to suddenly leave their home and the rest of their families, but decades of being in a war zone. So our program is designed to really help their resilience and help their mental health and wellness. And we know from years of experience that creative engagement does that. We had already done programs with the military here using creative engagement as a way to help with active and veteran military personnel that have come back from a war zone that have PTSD. And we saw the benefit of that, the effectiveness of that. So that was part of what we applied to working with these women.
I have a question because it's in my brain. I cannot comprehend the lives they have led so far, living for years in a war zone, uprooting yourself from your family and coming to America with small children. whoa, that's a lot to process. And what is the average age of these women?
They range from, well, we've got children all the way down to, you know, a year old, but they range up to 57 is the oldest woman we have right now. Mm-hmm. A lot of the women are in their 30s. We have some 20-year-olds. Some of them wear headscarves. Many of them wear headscarves, but also there are some women that don't. Some of the young women that aren't married don't, and they would just look like they're westernized in that sense in how they dress. But yes, and one of the things we also know is that when we first brought them together, we started with a handful of women, and we just wanted them to feel safe and to know that this was a safe space with us at the Citadel Mall, and that we held them in high regard, that we saw their courage and their capacity. Not we didn't just look at them as foreigners. We saw their capacity. And
because they're going to be here long term.
Yes.
They have relocated to the United States.
Yes.
Our community in particular. So we want them to be safe, comfortable, ultimately productive in the community life.
We want them to feel welcome, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And then we help integrate them into community life. And so one of the things we know, we do this in a trauma-informed way. So I actually identified three women that are professional artists, outstanding, well-respected artists in our region, but are also clinical therapists that know how to work with in a trauma-informed way and be mm-hmm. sensitive in that respect. So I know some of the women's stories. I know how brutal they are. I haven't asked them. They've come up, they've surfaced as they've felt safe with us. But that's part of what we know they're dealing with. And at the same time, they still have family back in Afghanistan that are vulnerable. All of them have their, you know, their mothers and siblings that are there. They may have come with their husband and their children, but they couldn't bring their whole family. So they're still scared to death about what's happening to their family. And they try to manage that. But when they walk into our space, they walk in with joy. It's just beautiful to watch them walk in. They're these incredible women that come in and are excited to see us and are excited to see each other. And again, I think what was astonishing to me was to hear from one of the women that said she had lived here for an entire year and she only went to the grocery store during that entire year. And in that year, she never met a single Afghan person or American person until she walked into our program.
Well, that must be terribly lonely. How do they find your program?
It's really been person by person, somebody telling a friend. We've tried to figure out the best way to reach them. They come through a lot of them come through the Lutheran Family Services as a resettlement agency, and Lutheran helps them get housing and jobs and get the kids into school. And they've been doing their best with a huge amount of, you know, when all of a sudden when the Afghan people came, they had a lot to handle. And then after those services, they may last 6 months or 3 months, then they're still trying to figure things out for themselves. And they've had great volunteers through Lutheran. But I can see that our program adds another layer because we're focused on their mental health and their sense of belonging, their sense of being part of.
You mentioned to me that many times the kids are the translators for the mothers, and an interesting role for young children because the kids you see are probably preschool.
Yes, but their young brains, are able to start learning English, and what that actually does is sort of a flip on the power control. So now the child is the navigator for the adult, and we know this a lot through time. The challenges for people coming into this country that don't speak English and are dependent on their children. And then at some point, the children quit speaking the mother tongue. So we're doing all kinds of things to help be respectful of their culture and help them preserve all of that that is important to them. So even though we started with this creative program and we continue to do that, we engage them in creative activities each week, we also realized they all really need a lot of English. There are wonderful, again, wonderful programs here through the school districts and the library district, but they're all full. And these women don't have transportation to get to the sites, or they need childcare. So therefore, we started a few weeks ago realizing we need to just focus on helping them with English. So we assessed them and we broke them into groups, and now we're making that part of each week that we help them with English.
So many needs.
That's what started surfacing, exactly.
I have been a military dependent living overseas, and oh my gosh, they had all kinds of support, and including the ability to live on post and never leave, but just must be overwhelming. And then to have children, little children that are so dependent on you. I'm just in awe of the work that you're doing. Now, is this, when people get involved, is this a term they come for 6 weeks, or is it indefinitely when they feel they want to leave, or how is that structured?
The volunteers or the?
No, the ladies that you're working with.
You know,
with.
We thought we were going to do a 10-week program. Then we kind of decided it was a 12-week program. And then we realized we just need to be a community for them. And so we provide the space for them to build, I've learned these terms, I have to say, social capital. Learned that there's a social bonding that needs to happen among them. The fact that they hadn't even seen another Afghan in a year mm-hmm. was very challenging. So just for them to develop friendships among their own friend, their own Afghan
right.
Culture, but also then social bridging is the term for connecting with people here, with Americans in Colorado Springs in the Pikes Peak region. And so that's definitely what's happened with this program, because we have about 20 volunteers that are part of helping us with about 30 Afghan women and their children. And that's created this bigger community. The volunteers keep coming up to me. They keep thanking me for being part of this. I'm so thankful for them. But
What do volunteers do? I mean, they provide transportation. We've talked about that. But it must be much more satisfying than providing transportation if people are coming up and thanking you.
A friend of mine that's part of this has had a major medical crisis in her family. And she comes to this, volunteers for this every week. And she said, I had no idea when we started on this program, Deborah, that this would be my mental health. This would be my ability to be resilient, because I look at these women and see their incredible resilience and what they've dealt with, and it just gives me strength. So I think various women, there's, again, women of all different ages that are part of volunteering, and I think they get that sense of renewal and feel. I know from some of the women, just that sense of feeling meaningful themselves, because some of them have retired, and now they feel that all those skills that they had in their work life are so critical with help. And you don't have to be an ESL teacher right. to help somebody learn English.
Right. Well, this is interesting. I'm sensing a thread. I had the mayor's wife on a week ago or so? And she's with some sort of initiative, and I should not remember the name, but I don't, to help people, women primarily, who are out in neighborhoods and feel isolated, and how to make them feel safer and build friendships. And then Linda Weiss, who has a program over here in, I can't think of the building now, 2 North, 2 South, Tejon, I think is the address. She has a group of women. And when you talk about the Afghan ladies being isolated, she has stories of American women who are out in the burbs or whatever, and mm-hmm. and they share the same things. And I think we have a great untapped resource here if we can figure out how to get. You know, we all know we're healthier when we have relationships and friends. And it's just criminal that we have so many people who feel apart. So God love you. I think that's really important that you're doing that, that Linda's doing that, that the mayor's wife's doing that. Abby is her name. I shouldn't call her the mayor's wife. And, you know, I'm glad that there are programs going on, but I bet the need is so great in our greater Colorado Springs.
It is. And that's what I realized is we have so much capacity. And one of the things that became very clear as we started into this is that there are gaps here in our community in terms of providing a network. We're the only entity in the Colorado Refugee Services Program that's in the Pikes Peak region. Everything else is up in Denver. I mean, there's only two arts organizations in the state that are part of this program. The other one's up in Denver. And so when we started into this, I think we were measuring everything by Denver standards. And we don't have the same ease of transportation.
Right.
We don't have what also became clear is in Denver, there may be an entire apartment complex that has Afghan families living there. And here, they're very sprawled out around the region. So I am doing transportation management with a lot of logistics every week to make sure that every woman and their children get picked up.
Get it right.
And we got the right volunteer over in that part of the town. And so part of what we were able to give feedback to the state was to have them understand that it's very different here in the Pikes Peak region and very important and needed. So we can see how critical these services are. So one of the things that happened is that we recognized that we don't have the kind of network of agencies and resources talking to each other all the time. We've got some excellent agencies here, but there are a lot of other unknown individuals or small programs that are doing good work too, and we haven't put them all together. So I did ask the state to create a Pikes Peak network, listserv, so that we're all kind of plugged into that, and that if we have a need, you can post it and somebody can respond to it. There's a beautiful one up in it's statewide, but it's primarily Denver. And we saw that every day I would see somebody ask a question. I need an attorney to help this woman with her school. And somebody, within minutes, somebody would respond with some answers. And so that's what we started recognizing we could help do here, because there are so many great educators at higher ed, at UCCS, at Colorado College, Pikes Peak State, that are doing similar work, teaching their students in psychology, in sociology, in business. One of the things we're looking at is how do we help these people not only find jobs, but build on their strengths. Some of them can be very entrepreneurial. And so helping these women that need to stay home and who, as a culture, are used to being collectivists, they're used to working, doing things together. So we're now looking at how we help them, perhaps working out of a commercial kitchen, cook together and have some products to sell. Or there's incredibly beautiful embroidery that some of the women have done, very detailed. That kind of handwork that can
how
be
do
done
develop
at home.
The market is probably the challenge.
Yeah. Well, already I've had different businesses say they would welcome selling that. And I think that we have a community, especially here, is what I realize there are a lot of people that have a relationship to Afghanistan because of the military here, and they have an appreciation. They've seen the strength of the people in their own country and now here. So I think that there's a lot of possible support, but can be done in a way that enables, you know, that strengthens, that empowers, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, it seems like one of the, for want of a better term, barriers is that we just don't know. And you shared a situation where you had a, what do you call it? It's not a garbage thing, but a metal container that you set up.
Our shipping container.
Shipping container, right.
Yes.
Tell us about the shipping container.
So,
and, you know, talk about breaking down barriers.
Yeah, thank you. We started the What If Festival of Innovation and Imagination in 2010. And really that was looking at the economic development study that had been done that said that the biggest barrier to economic development in the Pikes Peak region was that we're too siloed. And so we also knew at the time with the programs that Imagination Celebration was doing at the Pikes Peak Center, we had over 25,000 people in seats that year at the Pikes Peak Center. And when I crunched the zip codes, 52% of them came from the far northeast quadrant of the region. Mm-hmm. And at the time, the downtown was saying, oh, those people aren't coming downtown. So we created the festival. And a really important part of it was to just shine a light on all the innovation and creativity that does happen, which I also know if you do that, you can help foster more. If you shine the light on it, you can help inspire people to do even more. And it was, in order to be creative and innovative, we do have to break down out of our silos and barriers and cross-pollinate. And so we created the festival. And one year, the idea was to bring in this thing called the Portal, which is a shipping container painted gold. We put it in front of the Pioneers Museum for the festival in 2017. And you walk in, it's empty, but it's got gray carpeting on the floor, the walls, and the ceiling. And at the far end of the container is an 8x8 foot screen. And when you walk in through Zoom projection, you're talking to people that are life size in front of you in Afghanistan, in Brazil, in Australia, in Ethiopia, or Nigeria, in Lagos. You know, so I want to have our mayor go in. But it was just astonishing, again, to have people spend even as little as 20 minutes having a conversation with somebody in another part of the world. And there would be this moment where they would have that recognition of how similar they were.
Was the matching random? I mean,
No. Oh, no, we very much curate it. Okay. We know that we're going to connect people on that particular day with this site.
Okay.
I mean, we could have it open for the festival. We would have people just come in and experience it. But we've also created it where we had Olympians come in and connect with people in another part of the world. We've had musicians come in and perform. We had David Siegel play for the people in Afghanistan. And that was part of this, is that started connecting us to the world and seeing real people in different parts of the world. And it felt really important to our community because we are very much an international community here. And so getting a chance to talk to real people from different walks of life, again, I think it opens up our imagination. They always had people on their side that spoke English.
Oh, okay.
So
that's true. More people know how to speak English than English, than Americans know how to speak any other language.
Exactly. But we've had it. I had it at the Ent Center at UCCS. I've had it at Colorado College, at KRCC. I've had it at schools. I've had it at Sand Creek Library. I took it out to Calhan, again, into a ranching community, so that we can... I guess I love that concept of cross-pollinating, because I do think that's where creativity enters in.
Well, you shared with me earlier that you still have a container, so
I do.
We can see it.
I would love to. Yes, I'm looking for spots to put it, so I would love to.
Or sponsors.
Mm-hmm. Places where it could be active.
Mm-hmm.
So
it'd be fun to have it at a school.
It's great to have it at school. It's great to have kids connect with kids in other parts of the world. And right now, I mean, before COVID, there were 40 of them around the world. And we are very valued with the one we have here by the creators of it. The business is called Shared Studios. And they love what we've done here because we've moved it around to different parts of the community. And we're the only one in the state of Colorado that has this shipping container. And since we're talking about women, I felt like if it's a shipping container, it probably should have a woman's name, like a ship does. And so we call her Sojourner. We do refer to her as Sojourner.
Sojourner Truth.
Sojourner Truth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't know where your mind comes from that you come up with all this stuff, but I'm glad you do. What else would you like to talk about? Let our audience know what you're doing. And how can people in the audience maybe not participate, but maybe participate, or how can they, what can they do to break down barriers in our community? Because I hear that a lot, that people feel isolated in Colorado Springs.
You know, I just had this conversation yesterday with a young woman that's part of our program. She's a student out at UCCS. And when I was talking to her about the women being isolated, she said, you know, we do it ourselves, just like you're saying. Mm-hmm. We do it ourselves. And she realized she had just been focused on the people she was working with. And when that job ended, she lost all those connections. So now she's actively seeking out ways to do that. But certainly, we would love for people to contact us to be part of this program in any way they can. When you asked me what else to tell you, one of the things I would like to share is that we got selected by the Gallery of Contemporary Art at UCCS to be part of an exhibit coming up this summer. And Joy Armstrong created it. It's called We Are the Sky is the name of the exhibit. And so we put in a proposal, and we were one of the ones selected. And it's to have the Afghan women be part of creating an art installation there. And so in the process of doing this, I was telling the story about how we bring these women together, we sit in a circle, we go around the circle, they all have to say their name in English. And because we realized if we're going to be effective with them, it can't just be us teaching them, it has to be creative exchange. We need to be learning as well. So we have to say Noma Deborah Est. We have to be able to speak Dari or Persian or Pashto. And so they get to see us struggle with trying to say something in their language too. But we also ask different questions like, what's your favorite flower, your favorite color, your favorite sound? And that just creates more engagement. But Crystal Bliss Lardy is one of the clinical therapists and artists that helps engage them in movement and breathing every week, just to kind of help remind them that here are some tools you can use every day. And one day she had them do sound. So be prepared. She had them do this. Ooh. And just go up and down the scale. And they started laughing. And one of them said, oh, it's good to laugh. And that's part of what we realize is that some of the simple actions that we can do are healthy for us. And again, there's so many ways that people just need to seek out ways to volunteer. We know that that's one of the best indicators of a healthy life, is also including volunteerism in part of, as part of what you do. And we are now looking at how to have these women's voices literally heard as part of this installation. So we will have them speaking Dari and Pashto. You walk into a space that's created with fabric, sort of a sense of a tea room, and you'll be surrounded by their voices speaking Dari. And we get that sense of what it's like to walk into a, to be around people and not understanding anything they're saying. So it gives us that sense of their challenge. But we also want you to see the beauty and vibrancy of these people and of that country. Because I think people here in our region, especially, associated with a war zone.
Of course.
And see it as this desert, dry area. And yet the landscape in Afghanistan is very similar to ours here, with the plains meeting the mountains. And so we want to give people that experience as well. And then we know that the common language for all of us that we all relate to is the sound of laughter. So we'll incorporate that into the art installation as well.
I have another topic I want to step into, and maybe it's not appropriate because I know you're not a marriage counselor or anything, but you've talked a lot about the women, and that's what you're, that's who's mostly isolated, and that the spouses, the men, likely have some kind of job and mm-hmm. likely have some English capability. Do they have, that you know of, are there marital problems that as a result of that, or have you, you know, has any of that come up?
I'm not aware of that. We're I had been asked if I saw anything among the women. There's nothing I've seen from the women. One of my favorite experiences was going to Peak Vista, because there's a woman from Denver who comes and does translation for people that have a medical visit at Peak Vista. And so she invited me to come meet her. And then she said, come up and come here. Let me introduce you to some Afghan families. And this man came out. He was there for a medical visit with his family and his wife. And when she told him what we do, he said, oh, I'm so happy to meet you. My wife is so depressed. She really needs to be doing what you're doing. She needs to be with other women. And so I've heard that more than once from some of the men, recognizing how negative it is for the women to be isolated and that the men are at work all day. We are going to do some programs this summer that will engage the men and the school-aged children. So I've not encountered any problem with the families, but I just know that there's got to be so much going on in their lives. So many challenges. But I love hearing the men be, we've not had any man be negative about the women coming together with us.
Well, I think we people can get the feel for what you're doing, what a big job that is. And I just hope that the funding that you have continues. I mean, it would be tragic if that would go away and the program would go away.
We have heard from the state that they really value what we're doing here, and so they do want to include us for another year, and so we'll continue that. But we definitely welcome volunteers. And another part of this is that we have other nonprofits, like Interchange Works is another nonprofit that's partnering with us. And like I said, we keep developing this network. So there are many ways for people to participate with what we're doing. But just like you said, I think there are ways to connect in our community. There's so much going on in this region, especially through the nonprofits. So I would encourage people to look at how they can volunteer.
Well, one last issue I want to touch on, because I know you're located at the Citadel. And unfortunately, there have been some incidents at the Citadel that make people leery of going there. And in my conversations with you, you kind of dispel that anxiety. Can you just address that briefly? Because if you're going to have volunteers, they need to feel what you shared with me.
I appreciate you bringing that up, Mary Lou. We have had a space at the Citadel Mall for 20 years. I have been there throughout these 20 years, and I have never felt unsafe being at the mall. What I started experiencing in 2010, I started having people say, oh, aren't you afraid to go to the mall? And I couldn't understand what that was about. So I started looking at crime statistics. There was no crime happening around the mall, check bouncing, shoplifting, but no violent crime happening around the mall. What had changed were the demographics. And so I talked with some other nonprofits that had been doing work at the mall, and we were seeing the same thing, which is a sad statement, I think, that people, there are, it's a cultural hub. That mall is a cultural hub, and there are more diverse ethnicities in that mall than any place I think in the Pikes Peak region. So for us, it's a really rich place to be. And if you look at what's happening in crime, it's been happening all over our region. Sadly, I've heard the media mention the Citadel a number of times. And so I called them on it as well. I told them, I think, and those of us that are connected with the mall feel the same thing, that it gets mentioned anytime something happens, they say, quote, near the Citadel Mall, and it can be 4 miles away. I did talk to all our volunteers when that happened in December to see if they were still comfortable. 201, all these women were very comfortable coming and doing
programs.
Well,
and you also have the advantage of having, you're kind of off and up from the activity in the courtyard.
We were actually right down the hall from where this happened.
Oh, is that right?
So okay. I just think that I mean, but that's why I want to be clear about that. But I think there's things happening all over. I don't think it doesn't feel unsafe to me to be there. I think we all have to be aware. This particular thing that happened was between individuals that knew each other. And
that happens all over the city.
It does. But I think that there's been, I think we have to do some soul searching as a community about that kind of attitude about a site like the mall.
Well, I think that our conversation today would dispel some of the angst, but I would say if anybody is curious, they should contact you.
Please.
And have that conversation. Mm-hmm. And how would we contact you?
They can call me 719-597-3344 or Deborah at imaginationcelebration.org.
You can call her about anything. If
you yes.
If you want to learn.
Throw me an idea.
Yeah, right. Well, thank you for being here. This has been very rich, and I appreciate you being here. I appreciate what you're doing in our community, and kind of wish there were more of you.
Thank you. There are more.
You're grooming them?
I just ran into one coming in here.
This has been Elevating Pikes Peak Women, and we've been talking to Deborah Thornton, who heads the program for it's bigger than this, but primarily we've been talking today about the Afghan women who come to a program at the Citadel. And I guess, is that called acculturation, where mm-hmm. they learn about mm-hmm. the American culture and they are learning how to navigate their lives here, far away from their homes in Afghanistan, and they have children. And so all of this investment in the women is not staying with the women. It's going to the kids and the family, and these kids will be in our schools. And Deb tells me that their English is growing by leaps and bounds. So thank you, Deborah, once again for the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
And this has been Mary Lou Makepeace at Elevating Pikes Peak Women. Thank you so much for listening to us week after week. Thanks for listening to Elevating Pikes Peak Women. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and if so, please consider leaving a review wherever you listen to podcasts or share with your friends on social media or in person. For more information, check out our show notes. If you're interested in learning more about Pikes Peak Women, visit us on Facebook. Until our next episode, I'm your host, Mary Lou Makepeace.